But in the end of the day, it is mazel, right?
No, there's both.
Yesh
mazel yisroel, and mazel yisroel that means that the default is yesh mazel. We're born under mazel. If a person in his...
When you say mazel, is it good mazel or bad mazel?
It has both.
Good in both.
It's fixed. Mazel means fixed.
Mazel is
fixed. Mazel tov is good mazel. Mazel is fixed. It's whatever it is. And based on the way a person chooses to lead his life, he can break out of it, because if he leads his life in a way that he always breaks out of things, he doesn't recognize limitations, he just recognizes God, whatever God wants he can get, and he lives like that, so he doesn't have limitations, so God removes his limitations. That's what he explained.
So that's what I'm saying, is mazel good for this guy, or is it bad for the guy?
It's neither.
Once you say mazel good, mazel
is not, it's
bad. Is bad mazel good for
person? No, not what's the point of having mazel if you can get rid of the mazel?
Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us mazel in order to give us a challenge. He's challenging us. Because if we don't look too deep, we don't look too far, so we see the mazel. And in the earlier generations, they really saw the mazel. They were actually able to look into the stars and see the mazel. And they were able to figure out the power of the malach behind the star by looking at the star. Because you could tell the power of something by what comes out of it. So even though when you look at the star, you're not seeing the malach, but you're seeing what the malach is in charge of. And you see the effects of what the malach's job, his task is. And they were able to figure out the powers of the malach by looking at the conduct and the behavior of the star. And they saw that we live in a bria, the creation that's fixed, and there's nothing we can do about it. Since there's nothing we can do about it, they went to the next step that doesn't make a difference what we do. And that's clear. Clear. That's heretical. Heretical thinking. That's heresy. So the Nisar HaKadosh, why does Hashem do this?
So heresy means anti-free choice? That's what heresy means?
No, heresy believes that you're cutting yourself off from your source, and therefore you have no responsibility and you have no goal. That's heretic. Apikursis, the word apikursis, there's a Latin word, epicurean society. Apikursis comes from epicure. Apikursis means hefka. The sherish apikurus pei kufereishis hefka. So the goal of all apikorsis in all its forms is that that we don't have any shibudim. We have no, we have no responsibility. We're free to do as we wish.
Because why?
I said there's a lot of different forms. It's disgusting. It's regurgitated matter to go through the different forms. That there is no God, or there is a God and he doesn't care, or there's a God and he cares, but he allows us to defy him. It's all the different forms. There's 70 different forms of rebelling against God.
God created those 70 things.
What?
Those 70 things that each have a
malach
to it?
Yes, and it's teva. And the malach, they're basically fixed. They can't really go outside of themselves. The only creature that can go outside of himself is a yid. A Gentile could go outside of himself and he becomes a yid. And then, he has the key to the door, but he has to put the key in the lock and turn it. But a yid, there's no such thing as nature by yid. He can go outside of himself. That's the previous year. Now in Rechel Be'zah Perek Shmini, we're talking about the Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world with din and mishpat. That means that nobody gets more than what they deserve. And people get exactly what they deserve. And that's a very scary proposition. Because we don't deserve anything. That's what we talked about yesterday. And it's a good thing that Hashem loves us. And the reason why Hashem wants us to get exactly what we deserve is because He loves us. And part of that is that we don't deserve something, we don't get it. Or if we deserve Chas V'Shalom to be whacked up, we get that too. But since Hashem is giving us exactly what we deserve, because we're His Son, so there's two benefits to that. Number one is when He does punish us, Chas V'Shalom, so then He sweetens it. It doesn't come full blunt. Because when you're punishing someone you hate, you punish them different than when you're punishing someone you love. Push it.
What's the point of the punishment?
To knock us into line, so we can earn what we deserve.
So basically, it isn't like a full force. So why are you going to do less than that?
God has his ways of even in this score. I mean, he'll instead of giving a guy his debts in one shot, Hashem will give him 3,000 zetzes. And it'll be different. You know, he sweetens the din. That's called sweetening the din.
Is it changing the outcome or it's not changing the outcome?
Well, a guy could die from one zetz, and if he gets 3,000 zetzes, he won't die. It does change the outcome. But if 3,000 zetzes will get the guy to realize he's doing something wrong and change his ways, then it is the same outcome. Because the outcome is that the guy should change his ways. My Rebbe Chaim Stein, Zalaran Rebbe, he's the Rosh Hashiva and Taz Hashiva. And he tells us over a medrash. The one to the king, he had a son. And he told the son not to go to a certain place and engage in certain very, very disreputable activities over there.
Wait, there was once a king?
And he had a son. He warned him. He said, don't go there, don't do that. And the son didn't listen. So the king he found the biggest boulder in the kingdom. This boulder was a mamazetzer, as they say in French. It was a mamazetzer. It's a greise grubber stain, you know. The thing, you take a few hundred people to lift it, and he finds it, and he gets a few hundred people to lift it. Bring it to the palace. He tells the son, he said, you see that stone? That's a mountain, man. He said, okay, that's a stone. You go to that place, you do that thing, you know, in that place. So then I'm going to have a royal decree. It's going to be in writing with the signet ring of the king that the my slaves are going to pick up that stone and they're going to toss it on you. And the kid said, if that stone is tossed on me, then there's not going to be too much left of me to bury. And the king said, right, so you're not going to do that, right? He said, of course not. So of course the kid does it. Now, you know, if it's on the law books, the king himself does not have free reign. The king himself is subject to the laws of the kingdom, even if he made them. He's got to do it. He's got to. But he loves his son. How does he put a rock on his son? So, yeah, so they got a bunch of jackhammers, and now they got Paul Bunyan, and they smashed that thing into thousands of pieces, and the slaves, because it has to be thrown out, they throw it at him. It takes them months, you know, until every single last fragment, not a single one is missing. So my rabbi said, he said, you know, this is a joke. This is some kind of a joke. He clearly intended to kill the kid. And the king didn't think the kid was going to be that dumb, but he was. And then, you know, the king is, he's backing out. He's backing out. He's whipping out. He can't bring himself to, he's whipping it out. What's that in the measures? The Torah, you know, my rabbi said, if the king wanted to kill his kid, and instead of killing his kid, he's throwing thousands of pieces on the kid, then you're right, he's whipping out, because that's not the same thing. But that's not what the king wants. The king doesn't want him to go there and do that. This has nothing to do with killing, nothing to do with punishing. He doesn't want to punish him. He doesn't want him to go there and do that. And he puts that boulder there, and puts the fear of the boulder in the kid, the fear of death, that he shouldn't go there and do that. And then the kid does it anyway, so the king says, he can't go there and do that. So he's got to die. Because if he dies, he can't go there, and he can't do that. The king says, no, there's another way. Instead of dying, which will work, it'll do the trick, we'll break it up. And every single time, what do you think that kid is thinking? What do you think that kid is thinking every single time when those little things hit them? He's walking around, boom! What'd you do that for? Oh, it's you. Oh, yeah, buddy, don't follow me around. Oh, ouch! What that? What'd you do that for? And every single time it hits him, so then he goes through the process. I really should be dead. My father loves me because he loves me. He chopped it up into little pieces. Okay, it's annoying. Yeah, I wish you guys would give a little bit of warning before you did it. Oh, you did it again. But every single one of those things represents his father's love for him. His father warned him. He knew he warned him. He did it anyway. And he over and over and over again, he will not go to that place and do those things there. So it's the same thing. Hashem runs the world with him. But since his din is because it's his child, and his child is going to get exactly what he deserved, and not more and not less, so that the din, the unpleasant aspect of the din, the punishment, is sweetened. But it's din. It's not pluralism.
The thing I don't understand is God mixing up what's supposed to be on this world and the world to come, or Gehenna and this world?
You could be more specific with me. What do you mean mixing up?
Meaning all the mitzvot I do, I get paid back for it, not in this world and the next
world. In this world, we don't see God's din.
We don't see it, but he does it.
Yes, but in Abba, that's all we see is din. And this world is also din. We just don't see it because God uses other meters at the same time with din.
So I'm saying, for every other I do, am I getting paid back for this world, or am I getting...
The Mishnah in Kedushin says that if God has a particular love for a person, so he does him a favor, and he gives him a punishment for this world, because any punishment in this world has some kind of limit to it. It only lasts as long as this world lasts. But a punishment in the book could last forever. There could be no limit. It's better.
Hey, but what you describe as MS Lamito and MS Menaris. So is there MS...
Oh, cool. There you go.
Is there MS
Menaris means that we take the MS...
I know.
Even though it takes... We have to go a roundabout way to get there. And in my body is only MS Lamito.
In Oma, it's only MS Lamito.
Yes.
So if you have one of your...
Once it's too late, right. Once it's too late, there's nothing... There's once a medicine. You want to hear a story, a scary story? This story that they have a Messiah from the Chavetz Chaim, and the kids of the Chavetz Chaim. There was a butcher in the Chavetz Chaim's area that they caught the butcher selling not kosher meat. What is Islam? They caught him selling not kosher meat. And it came in front of the Chavetz Chaim. And of course, you know, the butcher couldn't be a butcher anymore. But that wasn't enough. You know, it's not enough. And the Chavetz Chaim gave him a penalty, a monetary class. He was fined. And the butcher, he did as much as he was able to. He did. It wasn't like he was happy about it. He tried to make amends. It was very, very, very embarrassing. And he was like nobody would have anything to do with him. It was tragic. And he was nifter. He passed away. One morning, the Chavetz Chaim woke up. He woke up trembling, and all the color left his face. And his kids asked him, "What happened?" He was like, "You know," he said. He closed his eyes and he fell asleep. And he sees two Anshei Tzura, men of stature. Because that's the way he described them. In his sleep, you would call it a dream. In his sleep, he was able to see two Anshei Tzura, two men of stature. They just hit. They huge proportions. That they came to him. And they said, the Shluchim, they're emissaries of the Masifta de Rikia, of the tribunal, the heavenly tribunal, on high. And they brought up this case. This butcher, the butcher's being judged. And the Chavetz Chaim gave him a penalty. And they wanted to know why the Chavetz Chaim gave him the penalty. Was he punishing him? Or was he fining him? What's the difference between a punishment and a fine? A punishment is, you did something bad. So you did something bad, so then you have to suffer for causing other people harm. You have to suffer in order that you should achieve and make up for what you did. A fine has nothing to do with that. A fine is just to protect the people. They don't want anybody else to think of such a crazy scheme again. So if the butcher gets fined, so he'll never do a thing like that again, and nobody else will ever do such a thing, because if they get caught, they're going to lose a lot of money. So Chavetz Chaim says that when he did it, he had in mind that it was a fine. He wasn't trying to punish the guy. He was just trying to protect the townspeople. Anybody that hears of this mice should know that the Chavetz Chaim fined the guy a huge amount of money. As soon as he said that, and they heard like tremendous screams, they took their butcher and they threw him into Gehenna. Because when he went up to Shemayim, there was a din on him in Shemayim. And they passed him for what he did. He was chayter machti as a rabbin, and there's no way of doing tshuva for such a thing. And there's no kapara, and he goes to Gehenna. And he said, wait, the Chavetz Chaim already had a din on him in Anamazah. And he passed him, he had to pay this money, and he paid it. So he already got his punishment. You can't take him to Gehenna. So the defending angels, that they said, that's right, he already got his punishment, Madam Hazza. Double jeopardy. You can't try a person twice for the same crime. And the Makachagin, the angels, the prosecuting angels, were saying that wasn't a punishment, that was a fine. And they sent two shluchim to the Chofetz Chaim to ask him what he meant. And as soon as he said that it was a fine, they took the gun and threw him to Ganon. This is a mice of a chasing rabbit.
Wait.
Well, he was telling people to try for meat. Why are you upset?
No, I'm saying.
Yeah, what's going on? He couldn't do anything to him.
He wasn't going
to
lie.
Well, let's say, like, that happens to one person. Like, it happened to some guy in Muncie, right? Like, he made his
yeah,
power destroyed.
I know, well, he could anyway. Do. A person could always do some kind of chew in his life. No, this guy didn't do it. This guy didn't do it. Complete tshuva. There's only, even when the Rambam says that you can't do tshuva, he doesn't mean you can't do tshuva. It just means you can't do tshuva with natural kaikas. You can only do tshuva if you go, you know, you do the supernatural, you do the undoable. And like we said, a Jew is capable of doing it. A guy says he did an avera, and the Rambam says, well, this avera, you can't do tshuva. Okay, goodbye. So he's not going to have a ma'abos, he may as well enjoy a ma'azim. That guy will not be able to do tshuva. But if a guy says, I don't care what the Rambam says, I mean, I respect him, he's entitled to his opinion, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu could do anything. And the Rambam wasn't talking about someone like me. I am a stubborn person, and I want to go work for Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I don't care about limits, and I don't. There's no way you can stop me, and I'm going to do the impossible. That person could do the impossible. Even someone, you know, that was quite dramatic as a rabbi, and the Rambam says that someone that causes other people to sin can't do tshuva. Even that person could do tshuva. So that's the, you know, the comfort or the chizuk that we get is that even our Kodesh Baruch Hu is din is harsh, but he's doing it because he wants his child to get exactly what he deserves, and he wants his child to get exactly what he deserves. So the harsh din is different than a din that's given over by someone that's an enemy. Hashem wants bechira. Let's go on to the next paragraph. Hashem wants bechira. Why does Hashem want bechira? Because Hashem wants to give what we deserve. So we have to deserve something. This is in sequence. This whole sefer is like this. Hashem created the world with mishpat. Mishpat is you deserve it, you get it. You don't deserve it, you don't get it. So Hashem created bechira because without bechira we'd be getting what we don't deserve.
We're talking about bechira on Shabbos, and Shnai over here asked, is it really considered bechira if there's black and white, right? White is good, black is bad, and the contrast is so different that it's obvious to go with the white. So is that really bechira?
That's not bechira. I mean, the truth is, there's a lot of things that we do during the day that are bechira, and there's a lot of things that are not bechira. Things that are black and white, maybe they're bechira on a very low level. But they're not much bechirah. To some bechirahs that we, things that we do, by autopilot, that we would never even think of doing them. It's so clear that we shouldn't do it. That's not real bechirah. But there's areas in every person's life that they have struggles with. That's the bechirah. It's called the nekudas habechirah. And Eliyahu Dessler talks about the nekudas habechirah. What do you think? Let's say a kid is young. So the kid is young, so he doesn't respect other people's property, and he steals, or he damages, and he has a nature to do. He has a nature, and it's part of his nature, and the school tries to deal with it, and it fails, and the parents, it's impossible. And the kid himself, he feels rotten when he does it, but he can't help himself. He wants, he needs, you know. He's going by a vending machine, he puts his hand in and pulls the thing and tries to get the candy bar out with putting in the money. And he takes the slug, I hope I'm not giving you ideas. He drills a little hole through a nickel, puts a string in and puts it down the phone, and pulls the next phone call and pulls it out. And these things. He doesn't feel good about himself, but he's broken in it. But then he outgrows it. That's it, he outgrows it. Crazy, you know, he'll do it. Then he gets his first real job, he works hard, and he realizes that you work hard, you get money. You don't take money for nothing. Or somebody steals from him, and then he gets angry, and then he finally realizes he gets older, mature, never does it again. He did it when he was 11 years old. Now he's 15 years old. He doesn't cheat, he doesn't steal, he doesn't rob. There's a difference in science.
was that in the tzav tshuva? Or did you have to go back and say?
Well, if he worked on it and he whipped it out of himself, it's tshuva.
He's still about all those three steps.
It's tshuva.
It does not. No, Hashem helps him. But, if, you know, there's the three steps. So in my case, he was under bar mitzvah, so it's really not relevant. My example, he was under bar mitzvah. Now he's 15. He doesn't take things from people. He wouldn't take someone's soda without asking him. We never do such a thing. So he has bechira. If he's not taking something, he's using his bechira. He's not using his bechira. But he would cheat on his taxes. But he would cheat on medicine, but he would cheat on his taxes. Because that's not stealing, that's stealing from me! I would never ever take something from somebody that, you know, I would never ever do it. But the taxes, every man for himself, I give them everything, I'm not going to have anything left. And everybody does it, and they know everybody does it. My accountant says that as long as I don't get caught. And in college they teach you these things. So he has a big nesayin. Because you want to declare everything, even cash business, it's a very big nesayin. He would never steal anything, he would never cheat anybody, he would never rob. But somebody comes into his store and pays with cash, he's going to report that to the IRS. It's a big mistake. And if he doesn't do it, that's Bechira. So if Dostal says, what happened is the kudos of Bechira, his point of Bechira just went up a bit. The things that used to be a challenge for him, he conquered them. And now, he has new battles. It's a non-ending process. Yeah,
how do you explain these things that happen with the speaker rabbi and these guys in the Jersey? These people knew Torah, they learned Torah all day long, and they were advocates of this situation.
Are you talking about big people that are caught doing disgusting things? Without mentioning names, because there's no point. Are you talking about big people that get caught doing disgusting things? But people thought they were tzaddikim. Yeah, big people that got doing disgusting things. I'll tell you two things, okay? I'll tell you two things. Number one is pashut. Just because people thought that someone was a tzaddik doesn't mean they were tzaddik. Okay, that's one thing. But that's not the definitive answer. Because it could be they were, okay? Why is that a good answer? Because it could be they're not a tzaddik. Or it could be they're not a tzaddik. But the second thing is, let's say someone is a tzaddik. The tzaddik also has a test. You know what his test is? A tzaddik knows he's a tzaddik. A tzaddik, you know, a guy that's a schlepper and a schlemazel, and a grepeter, so then he doesn't think, he knows that he's not so high and mighty. So he doesn't have such a big nesayin. The nesayin is to come by thinking that you're high and mighty. Well, there's a certain way of people that are lower and more humble, more humility. So those type of averas, the averas that you do because of power, they don't have such a hard time with. But if you have someone that learns all day, you have someone that the whole world comes to him, you have someone that the whole world says tzaddik, that he never has to lift a finger and he has got blame. You know what his nesayin is? It's called the nesayin of haughtiness, of gaiva. And that's their nesayin. And no matter how holy a person is, they could fall. There's no person alive that's a sure thing. They could fall. And gaiva leads to everything. Gaiva leads to, I can get away with things. Gaiva leads to, I'm entitled. Gaiva leads to, I'm so smart I won't get caught. And they don't even realize it's gaiva. It's justified. So I'm giving you both answers because they're both true. Because sometimes the guy fooled people who's not a tzaddik. Not everyone that you think is a tzaddik is a tzaddik. Not tzaddik. There's some very, very, very evil people out there that are not, they're not tzaddik. But number two, even if they are a tzaddik, that is the nesayin. The nesayin is because they're a tzaddik. So if I'm a tzaddik, and I work something out in my mind, I can rely on it. If I'm a tzaddik, and I think I can get away with it, because it's right, I can be confident that it's right. I don't have to ask somebody else. And I don't think they can get caught. Believe me, if they thought they could get caught, they would never do it.
Remember, like you said this thing last year, like that the higher you are, and the harder you fall.
Kala gada mechaver yitzah gada limono. That is the concept that I'm demonstrating right now. Kala gada mechaver yitzah gada limono. You know, I never had a major nisayim in killing someone. I never had a major nisayim in killing someone. I never had like a major nisayim. There are people that they did. I never had that. Elisha ben Avuya, who was the Rebbe of Rameyah, he had an assignment to kill someone, and he actually killed someone. He killed a child that gave him some bad news, you know. He killed
the messenger.
So that makes me greater than him, because I never had the disease, you know. Because when you're great, when you're powerful, so then that's your assignment. When anybody gets in your way, you're going
to
get... What? It's a very scary thing. You're climbing the ladder of greatness means that you have to be aware that there's a greater responsibility. You know, if a Rebbe is a Rebbe Yeshiva, and people listen to his Divrei Torah, and they actually ask him advice, he can do a lot more damage than someone that's a problem. So does that mean someone shouldn't want to be a Rebbe?
I'm thinking...
That means if he's not qualified, he shouldn't be a Rebbe. I'm saying, you know, that's not an option. If you have the ability of being a tzaddik, if you have those, you know, that potential and that capability, then go for it. But with it comes responsibility. But yes, it is scary to climb the ladder. It is scary to climb the ladder. You can do a lot of damage. My Hebrew is ready, Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld. You know, he's one of the Gdolei HaDor in the 1980s. That's so long ago. Gdolei HaDor in the 1980s, even now, 1990, he passed away about 17 years ago. He was a yeshiva, called Shai Yashiv. And Rabbi Eber was in Kaila. And he was going to enter into chinuch. He was going to enter into, you know, the field of education. And he spoke with his Rebbe about it, and his Rebbe told him, if you're going to go into this field, you have to be prepared to do somersaults for your Talmid. It means whatever it takes, you have to do it. There's no such thing as this I don't do and this I do. They need it. It's going to help them. You do it. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether you can or whether you can't. You have to do it. And he says, if you're not going to be prepared to do that, so become a sheikhet instead. You can make a nice parnasa of a sheikhet. Because it's better you should shech chickens than shech your talmidim. There are people in that field of education that they should be sheikhetim. Better they should shech chickens than shech their talmidim. So the point of the labor here is that they are bechiras, and the bechiras which were past them already. So there's bechiras with a struggle, and there's bechiras without a struggle. If you don't have a big deal about McDonald's, you know, there was a guy, I once went on a date with my wife to the mall in the Vassarot. We wanted to see what it was, go to a new mall, we were never there before, and we see a TJ guy, you know, we're on the upper level, we see in the lower, a TJ guy by the kosher McDonald's over there. I mean, it's not Mahadri, but it has a, you know, I don't know what it is now. Whatever, it's not, there's a rabbi that says it's all right. Yeah, there's the one there. Yeah, it's not Mahadri, but there's someone that says it's all right, so this guy was eating there, and he was all by himself. He was sitting there on a Saturday night, all by himself, eating whatever it was there with french fries, just eating, not talking about it. It's very strange. On a Saturday night, you go out somewhere, you go with somebody, you go out there to eat, that means you just want to eat. So why is he going out to my vassar to eat? You want to eat, to go to a burger place here. You want to go with somebody, you go to a place. But all you got to do is eat, to eat. So I asked him, I didn't go, you know, he didn't know I saw him. But during the week, I said, you know, I hope to see you there. I said, you know, I was going to join you, but I didn't want to disturb you. Anyway, I said, would you mind if I asked you, you know, what's a job? I asked him what's a job. Because he wasn't religious when he was growing up. And he used to eat McDonald's. He misses it. But he keeps, he's a firm boy. And today, out of here, he's a very firm boy. Very nice member of the Jewish faith. Faithful member. And he misses it. So he went out there because he missed it, and he wanted to have it, you know, it was cold. I said, it really tastes the same. He said, yes, it does. Tastes the same. He worked out the recipes. So he is an Assyrian, do you understand? When he doesn't eat in a non-kosher McDonald's, he is exercising Bechira. When I don't eat in a non-kosher McDonald's, I'm also exercising Bechira. You know why? Because I could, if I wanted to, and I choose not to. But is there a comparison between my Bechira and his Bechira? Okay, so that's, you know. So there are, we do have Bechiras. Even with black and white, we have Bechiras. But those Bechiras are Bechiras without a struggle. There is a Bechira. We do have a Bechira.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's a Bechira without any resistance.
Is to do that. Meaning, once you start following the Torah, it's simple already what to do and what not to do.
You pass certain milestones, you leave them behind, but then you get new milestones. It's still a Bechira. But it's not worth a lot.
Why?
Because the Mishnah says in Birkei Avos, is Lefum Tzara Agra, that the reward goes based in proportion to the tzar, to the effort and the pain. It's not worth a lot. And in fact, the Chofetz Chaim is a kasha. Chofetz Chaim had a kasha. The pasuk says, Metaz HaMashiach, Umala Arez Deyes Hashem, that the world is going to be filled with Das of Hashem, which means that everyone's going to understand what was going on all these years. It's going to be black and white. Umala Arez Deyes Hashem.
So we're
going to
know Kabbalah, we're going to know everything.
We're going to understand everything that Hashem did, and we're going to understand why everything, we're going to understand why what was right was right, what was wrong was wrong. We're going to understand that there's no right and wrong, there's things which you do, and there's things which you can't do. We're going to have Das. So that means that when we don't do this, it's going to be a hazard then. Mashiach's going to be a king. Born to a Jewish father and mother, it's going to be your own hazard. What's the point? We're going to do the mitzvahs because we don't have any other alternative. How can you not do a mitzvah? An avera, who would ever think of doing an avera? So what's the point of living then? The Chofetz Chaim says, for our own sakes, for our own benefit, there's not that much point. If you're looking about it from a point of schar, what we do then, the mitzvahs we do then, and the averas we stay away from them, they're not going to earn us too much reward. Because doing avoda, the word avoda means hard work. Doing avoda is Hashem, without effort is not worth very much. You're doing it because, of course you're not going to do it. Of course you're not going to do this avoda, it's poison. Yeah. A bottle of Pepsi Cola in front of you. Alright, so for me, Pepsi Max. And then a bottle of poison in front of you, with a skull and crossbones on it. You have a hero. I picked a bottle of Pepsi. With ice. Oh, you deserve a lot of scar. You didn't kill yourself. And you're not allowed to kill yourself. So you deserve a lot of scar. We won't get too much scar. The Chofetz Chaim says we won't get scar. We'll get a little bit. You get a little. No, not Olam Haba. Mashiach time. Yes. But that's not. So the Chofetz Chaim says that when we pray on Imam and Bimir Shlema, Bibi as a Mashiach, we say, Tzemach David Atzmach. So we are davening to die. Because as long as the Gula doesn't come, it's a struggle. And if it's a struggle and we conquer our nature and the outside influences, so then we live from that. That's life. When you're struggling, that's life. So we're davening that we should die. What's the cycle on that? And the Chofetz Chaim answers, because Mashiach is not coming for our benefit. Mashiach is not coming that we should get scar. Mashiach is not coming to make it easier for us. Mashiach is coming because this world is filled with trash and the covenant of God is in the toilet. and everyone's trashing God, and so spitting, you know, there's no derech eretz, there's no covet, every value that God holds high, people take it and dump on it, and the world's one big chilul Hashem Shemayim, and the gula comes to bring covet to God. It's not about us. You're wrong. That's afterwards. You have to get the sequence properly. Mashiach's coming first, before the destruction. So that we dive in for the Geula because of God's covet. But for our own covet, for our own benefit, we are better off struggling. Because God made this world for din. And din is that we should get exactly what we earn. And we can't earn anything if there's no struggle. So it all gets back to the midah kod midah sadin, that you only get what you deserve. So since you only get what you deserve, then you have to earn it. And you can't earn it without a struggle. So the purpose of Olam Hazeh is to struggle. The purpose of the days of Mashiach is not to struggle. That's the purpose of returning to God his covet.
We want Mashiach now.
If it's for God, then God should just bring it. If it's not for us, why should they like, oh, we're not deserving of Mashiach?
It's like, well, whoever gave him Mashiach, wherever you have Moshe Shapiro give a muscle, there's a chiyuv to sleep in the sukkah. Eat, sleep, everything. There's a chiyuv to do everything in the sukkah. Even to shmooze in the sukkah. Chiyuv to shmooze, you're going to shmooze in the sukkah. Even if it's not divitei. And sleep in the sukkah. Dibbi in the sukkah. So a guy goes into the sukkah, he goes to sleep. He went into the sukkah. The morning he wakes up, he was in the sukkah for 7 hours, sleeping. How much schar does he get? He gets schar for sleeping 7 hours in the sukkah. How much of that did he do? About 5 minutes. He slept on his mattress? He did that. He brought in his favorite blanket, a couple pillows. Walked in there, scrunched up under the covers. How long does it take? 5-10 minutes. Why did he get 7 hours of schar? And he does get 7 hours of schar. You know, like you play a trick on him. In the middle of the night, you pick him up, carrying him out. You don't know the difference. What's the difference? There is a difference. He's supposed to be in the sukkah. He's there for 7 hours because of the 5 minutes that he spent in the beginning. And that was a struggle. That was work. So even though the 6 hours and 55 minutes are not, but he's there only because of the 5 minutes of work. People that make it to the days of Mashiach, even though in the time of Mashiach there's no struggle, but they wouldn't have made it to that point if it wasn't for the hard work until then. So we do get schar, mitosham b'mehavi yameinu, for the effortless bechiras that we make in the times of Mashiach, because we brought ourselves to the stage where it's effortless. So there is a point. There's the question. You're saying, you know,
The question was, we always say that how we need Mashiach and how we want Mashiach now, and like, you know, and all these things.
Right, so that we.
It's not for our benefit.
It's not. Yeah. No, the highest level is that we should seek the Geula for our Kadosh Baruch Hu's covet. The only reason why we have ourselves in mind is because there's something called Shalei Lishma.
So how are we holding it back?
Whoa, hold on. Just because it's good for us to struggle doesn't mean it's good for us to fail. There's a lot of failure there. Like you think, if we're struggling, it's good. No, we're not supposed to fail. We're supposed to struggle and win. But to have ourselves in mind is not... To have ourselves in mind when we're davening is not bad. There's a cloud. The bishop mitayk shalei lishma, bal lishma. So you start out with Shalei Lishma, and from the Shalei Lishma, eventually it leads to Lishma. But the Chafetz Chaim was not talking about that process. The Chafetz Chaim was talking about the quintessential Geula. He's talking about the real Geula. But in actual practice, even the Chafetz Chaim is aware that there's some people that they're not there yet. So he was talking about the way it is. But the Avoda to get there, if someone wants to start out, the Geula will make life a lot easier for me. Reminds me, there was one time, in Europe there were people that were called Magidim. Magids, you know, they used to go from place to place. And they never, then, you know, they travel, and then when they would come, if they were like a very, very popular Magid, then the whole community, all 15 families, you know, these cities were not all that big, they'd come to the main show, and the woman would be in the ladies section, in the balcony, and they'd all come, nobody would be missing, and the Magid would be ma'ir them to, some Magidim got people to cry, some people got them to laugh, some people got them to cry and laugh at the same time. There was one Magid, he was so good that someone challenged him, you know, to see if he could get everyone to, you know, get half the end to cry and half the end to laugh simultaneously. He said, I can do it. They said, no, you can't. I understand you can give a shmooze that they can laugh. And you can give a shmooze that they can cry. But how could you do the half of them will do one, half of the other? He could do it. He got up there and he gave a fire and brimstone shmooze about accountability and the fires on him and the demons and the shade and they're going to throw him in and the smallest thing and nothing is overlooked. And you know, nobody can help you now because you're nervous, you know? And the ladies just start crying, and the men are crying, and the man is crying, and he goes like this. He sticks his hand in front of his mouth, sticks his tongue out on one side. They have to always see that this time. They can't believe he did such a thing. It's crazy. In the middle of this, he sticks his tongue out and he starts laughing. In the other hand, they didn't see the stick. They didn't stick the tongue out. They're all crying all at the same time. He said he did it. So there was a maggot that came and he talked about what's going to be. That the people are living in Poland for generations. And the only thing they know is the wife, the kids, and Elsie, the cow, and the little vegetable patch where they make the cucumbers. They don't know nothing. So he tried to open up their eyes. He said, we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. There's going to be a king. And we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. And we're going to leave behind our chickens. And we're going to leave behind our cows. And leave behind our vegetable patches. And we're all going to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the camp in the Sharon. And he's evil. And we're going to go. And the guy ran home to his wife. And he said, give up. She said, what? She said, you're not going to believe it. We're going to have to. We're going to lose everything. And someone came. He just came. No, we're going to have to leave it. She just said, we're going to have to leave it. She just going to come. We're going to lose our chickens. And what's going to be with our chickens? Who's going to take care of our chickens? What's going to be with them? How can we live? What are we going to do over there with our cow? And she says, calm down, calm down. You didn't have lived through so many tsars, and they survived to survive, but she had to. It takes you way from Balishman. You can start out on the lowest level that you're on. Yeah, Mashiach will come, at least, you know, the game won't make fun of us so much, you know, it'll be easier to make a living. We'll be able to take, you know, the boss will give us time off for Kalim Eid. You can start out.
What it's gonna be, just regular?
It's gonna be physical, but the value system is not going to be physical at all.
Yeah.
The culture. Because everything we do in this world, we're going to understand that it has an effect on the spiritual world. It's not, we're going to be physical. We're going to do physical acts.
Like that?
What? What, this process?
No,
it's very gradual. It's starting now, by the way. You know, when all the things that people put their faith in over all the generations, over hundreds of years, you know, start falling apart, it's part of the process. The Mala Earth, Deus Hashem, is Hashem is filling the world with His Das. So communism is no longer considered Das anymore. And Zionism is also has its problems now, it's floundering. You know, there are people that was like the height of values. It's been proven it's not all that it smacks up to be. You know, I don't want to get political here, but we don't, there's cracks in the armor. Democracy, capitalism, America, that was like the great superpower, and now look what's going on. It's like everything is crumbling. Everything's falling apart. Because God is going to fill it with His Das, and God wants to make sure that there's no competition. But the time when God fills the world with His Das, everything else is going to be gone. It's gradual. It's very slow. It's very slow, but it started. So in order for Hashem to run the world, means that then that we have to earn it, and we have to earn it with Bechira. So why did God give us free choice? Because of the Midah of Din, because you don't get anything that you don't deserve. It's an interesting perspective.